I'll just want to remind you of our Exploring Membership Morning, which is on the 11th of October. And we have a system of membership, which isn't in the Bible. It's just how we do it. You know, we do the Exploring Membership Morning, then we invite people up on the platform like we've just done there with Sarah. It's just kind of how we do it. But it's how we enable you to join into something. It's how we enable you to stand up and be counted. And you know what? That is thoroughly biblical. That's very much in the Bible. And so can I just commend our Exploring Membership thing to you? That morning, it's great. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of very useful information. But I just want to encourage you, if you're not a member of Grace Church, then take steps towards becoming a member. We really do value it together. And if you can't make that morning, or if Saturdays just aren't good for you, I'd love for you to come and tell me that, because do you know, we might even be able to find some other way. It's not doing the day that's the important thing. It's actually joining up. It's becoming part of us as a full member of the church. So don't hold back. Don't write yourself off. Press in and let's make that work. Okay. But the next membership morning is coming up soon. You can't tick the box now because you've handed your forms in. But if for any strange reason you didn't hand your form in, you still have the opportunity to do that. And then, of course, you can go to the info desk as a last resort. Okay, we are this morning in Matthew's Gospel. It may be that you want to borrow one of our Grace Church Bibles this morning. And if you raise your hand, our wonderful welcome team will bring a Bible to you. And also, if you haven't got a Bible of your own, maybe you haven't got a modern translation of the Bible, then we'd love you to hold on to one of our Grace Church ones and make it your own. But if you've just forgotten your Bible this morning and you've got 17 sat at home, then we'll have it back. But, turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. Last week, Steve began our new preaching series, which is called Our Commission. Throughout this whole series, we're looking at just a few verses in Matthew's Gospel. They are perhaps the most important verses found anywhere in the Bible, because they record some of Jesus's final words on this earth, and they act as like a handover from Jesus to his church. And in that sense, they act as like a handover from Jesus himself to us here in Grace Church. They enable us to answer the very important question, what are we here for? What is the purpose of Grace Church? So let's read through these few verses. Matthew 28, verse 16. In fact, I will stick it up on there as well. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, there's one phrase I particularly want to focus on this morning. Last week, Steve was looking at Jesus came to them and said, and so today we're following on from that. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. The authority of Jesus is his right, his ability, his power to use all the power and might of the Godhead. There is no other power or authority in the universe that can contend with the authority of Jesus. He is sovereign over all of creation, sovereign over everything. And so this morning, I just want to pose two very simple questions, two very practical questions. The first is this: am I sure that Jesus has all authority? And I mean really sure. Are you deep down absolutely convinced Jesus has all authority? And then the second question we'll get to is, what difference does that make for me? What does the authority of Jesus have to do with me in my life? What difference does it make? So we'll start with the first question. Am I sure Jesus has all authority? Just ponder that for a moment. Just kind of let your mind kind of reflect on that. Am I really sure? Because you need to get to the point where you're convinced. You're convinced that Jesus does have all authority. It's easy to read it in Scripture or even read over it. But when you think about your own life, maybe, or when you think about what's going on in the world at the moment, how do you tally that with the authority of Jesus? Is he really in control? You just have to put on your news, don't you? You see another atrocity happening at a national level or another life being snuffed out for whatever reason. How does the authority of Jesus measure up with reality? Well, the first thing to note is that Jesus was sure of his own authority. That's the place to start. In fact, a major theme of Matthew's gospel. Now, I haven't really looked at Matthew's gospel as a whole here. But a major theme of that gospel, of which our passage comes right at the end, is to establish and confirm the authority of Jesus. And so in Matthew 7:29, it says that when Jesus taught the crowds, they were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority. And not as the other teachers of the law around them taught. And then from Matthew chapter 8 onwards, you see description of miracle after miracle as Jesus demonstrated his authority over the physical world. And so you see him demonstrating his authority over plant life, over weather patterns, over physical illness, and so it goes on. And then in Matthew chapter 9, verse 6, Jesus shows how he has authority even to forgive sin. And he does that with a clever piece of logic. There was a man who was paralyzed, who was unable to walk, that was brought to him. And Jesus said to the crowd, which is it easier to say to this man? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven? Or is it easier to say get up and walk? Now, actually, to say get up and walk was the trickier thing to do, wasn't it? Because the authority of that statement had to be tested visibly right there and then. And so he says, so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man, get up and walk. And the paralyzed man was able to walk in that instant. And so Jesus demonstrated that his authority was without question. His authority was established. And then in Matthew 10, you see Jesus beginning to delegate that authority to his disciples. Matthew 10, verse 1, it says, he called his 12 disciples to him. He gave them authority to drive out evil spirits, to heal every disease and sickness. If you think about it, you've got to have authority in order to give it away. And so Jesus was demonstrating his authority. It really is then in keeping with the whole theme of the gospel that Matthew then records Jesus' words right at the end. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. But you know, it's not just Matthew's gospel. The whole of Scripture, the whole Bible, it tells you again and again that Jesus has authority over everything. These words in Matthew 28 that we call the Great Commission, that's kind of the label we give it, they're not only a command for us to follow, they are also the prophetic fulfillment of words in the Old Testament of the Bible. And the people hearing those words will have got that immediately. They would have understood that because they would have recognized the words. And the people reading Matthew's gospel at the time it was written, they would have got it as well. They would have understood. Look at Daniel chapter 7. I'll put the two passages up side by side so you sort of see how similar they are. Now, Daniel was a man of the Old Testament. He had a scrape with some lions, if you remember that. But he was also one of the most outstanding prophets of all of history. And Daniel is one of my favorite people in the whole of the Bible. And he prophesied about the Messiah, about Jesus. And he said this. I'm going to start reading just a few verses above what's on the screen there. He said, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man." And that's a title for Jesus. "Coming with the clouds of heaven, he approached the Ancient of Days and was presented before him." And then verse 14, "He was given authority, glory, and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom shall never be destroyed." Now, do you see that the parallel? Let me just sort of link up some words there. Let me color code it. You see, authority, authority. Nations, the nations. To serve him, to be his disciples. And then, yeah, it's all about an everlasting dominion. This is confident. This will go on in time. "I will always be with you to the end of the age." You see how this was a prophetic fulfillment of what had gone before. Jesus is given authority that all the people of the world should worship him. So when he says, "All authority has been given to me, now go and make disciples of all nations," in effect he's saying, go and be the prophetic fulfillment of God's mission to the world. This is the whole point of everything. We've got to see that big picture. Jesus wasn't saying, "I'm allowed to tell you this, guys. I've got authority. I've been authorized, and I want you to do a job for me." No, it was so much bigger than that. He's saying that our mission exists because of the authority of Jesus. Because everything has been given to him. He has dominion over everything. The aim of mission is to bring all things under the lordship of Jesus. The grand purpose of God for all time, revealed throughout the whole of Scripture, is to bring all things under the lordship of Jesus. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And then when you read in Revelation, the end of the story, you see all of creation singing praise to Jesus, who is seated on the throne. And they're singing to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And this is big picture stuff, but it starts with Jesus saying, "All authority is given to me." So Jesus has all authority. Do you see how that is the banner written across all of Scripture, all of time? But what about when it really doesn't look like Jesus is in control? In Iraq and in Syria at the moment, we hear of whole villages just being wiped out, just being slaughtered. Was that done in the authority of Jesus? Bad things happen in our own lives. Do you know what? Just in our church this week, there's been enough bad news for me. There's been plenty. If you're in the middle of a difficult situation yourself, and through tears, you are asking, "What is God doing?" Then do you know what? I would want to put my arm around you and say, "I don't know." There are no short answers that make it all okay. But as we look at the world around us and we seek to make sense of the things that happen, we must always be striving for a biblical worldview. We must always be striving for a biblical perspective that is rooted in truth. And the Bible is a story of redemption. And God has a redemption plan. The Bible describes a God who is sovereign over all things, but a world that is fallen into sin and decay. There are spiritual forces of evil led by the devil and his angels that oppose every purpose of God. Now, God is sovereign, and he could wipe out this world in a heartbeat. But you know, he doesn't. Because his plan is a redemption plan. And he sent his son, Jesus, into the world to pay the penalty for sin through his death. And rather than calling time on the world, he is steadily reclaiming the world back under his lordship, redeeming person after person after person from the clutches of sin and advancing his kingdom. And we hate the fact that the world is full of sin. We hate the fact that the world is full of evil. It's an offence to us. Do you know, that's part of our being made in God's image, that we are so offended by the evil around us. But you know what? God hates it more. But it's because of his great mercy that he holds back his judgment, that more and more people might turn to Jesus. Do you know, maybe he is even waiting for you to turn to him. Colossians 1:13 says this: he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The present reality is that there is a spiritual battle that rages as the dominion of darkness tries its damnedest to hold back the advance of Jesus' kingdom. And there can be skirmishes of the enemy, but Jesus is always in control. You know, me and my next door neighbour, we've just recently got very interested in the history of the old RAF base that used to be on Tangmere RAF base. That's where I live, Tangmere. And let me just give you a picture. There you go. That's RAF Tangmere in the 1920s. So they expanded it a bit during the war, but there's a picture. It's a long and probably quite dull story, but let me give you anyway. I was helping my neighbour dig his garden, and we were digging the footings for a new conservatory. And we dug down, we dug out a big bit of masonry that had a very sort of glazed face. It was clearly from a wartime toilet or washroom. And this got us to start to look into it and research it. And so after, I only just think I'm a complete nerd, but go with me on this. Because this building here, if you can see that building is part of the old RAF base, and it is stood exactly where my house is today. You know, if you were in the same place taking the same photo, you'd be taking a picture of my house. Now, that building itself was actually the kind of flight control mission command, and particularly for the Battle of Britain. And so from that building, all the aeroplane movements over this part of the south coast through the Battle of Britain were controlled from in there. And that's now my front room. I think that's kind of cool. I quite like that. And anyway, let me tell you a little bit of the Battle of Britain, okay, on one day, the 16th of August, 1940, the Luftwaffe launched a focused attack on RAF Tangmere. It was the only time it really suffered a sustained attack. And in the space of 20 minutes, 13 people had been killed. All the hangars that I showed in that last picture, they were destroyed. 13 planes on the ground were destroyed, and 40 other vehicles. Many of the other buildings were damaged or destroyed, including this one actually. All the power and the water and the communications were knocked out. It was absolute chaos. But for all that, the base continued to function, and it operated without a moment's break. And the base commander, who was called Group Captain Jack Borre, he made a note in the station log for that day. He said this. I won't put the RAF accent. I'll try. The situation was dealt with. No, it's okay, I'll forget that. I sound more German. Yeah, that's not right. This is what he said. He said the situation was dealt with in an orderly manner, and it was considered that the traditions of the RAF were upheld by all ranks. So surrounded by all this devastation and demolition, He said this, in conclusion, it must be considered that the major attack launched on this station by the enemy was a victory for the RAF. And I love that attitude. Do you know the devil will come to you in your life and he will launch attack? And life can seem a bit crazy at times, but he is powerless to take you out of action, even for a second. Your eternal destiny in Jesus is absolutely secure. Your position, your life as a child of God is without question. Because all dominion, all authority has been given to Jesus. So let's be sure. Let's be convinced. The second question was this. What difference does it make in my life? What's it got to do with me? Some people, when they're trying to recall the Great Commission, and those verses from Matthew, they think, doesn't it say there that Jesus gives me all authority? Well, no, actually it doesn't. And all authority is actually given to Jesus. He's the one seated on the throne. He's the one with all dominion and power. Nowhere does Scripture say that all authority has been given to you. And frankly, what a disaster it would be if it was. All authority is given to Jesus. That does raise the question, what does that mean for me in my life? Actually, it means everything. Let me tell you, firstly, it means you have a job to do. When you become a Christian, you're not just saying in a kind of a mental belief way, yeah, I believe in Jesus now. Actually, you are putting your life into Jesus' hands. You're putting your hope in him, putting your trust in him. It's your life in Jesus' hands now. That's what it means to be in Christ. And so Jesus' priorities become your priorities. His mission becomes your mission. And Jesus is seated on the throne, and all of history is working towards the point when everything will come under his reign. And so your job, as someone who is in Christ, is to in some way help to bring this world under the lordship of Jesus. Do you see that very fact of the authority of Jesus? It doesn't just enable you to get on with mission. It doesn't just help you like a little resource pack. It actually compels you to. It actually means you don't have any other option. I was in our local shop the other day, the co-op. I was walking down the aisle, and you know they dress the shelves very carefully, you know, with everything to the front and everything, all the labels round right. And as I was looking out, I just noticed that one can, I think it was a can of soup, had fallen over. And I was fine with it. I walked on. And then I realised it was just drilling a hole in my psyche. And I'm not normally that OCD, but for some reason, I just could not walk on. And so I just went back and I stood up the can, and then it was all fine. Everything was all right then. Do you know, all around you, there are people's lives. There are circumstances around you. They've just been kind of knocked over because of sin, because of just the darkness of this world that we live in. And your job is to stop and reach out and just stand the can up. Just reach out into somebody's life. You do that as you show God's love to someone who is in need. You do that as you bring truth into a situation, truth that's aligned with the Bible, where you're countering lies or confusion. And as you, or maybe as you step out, offering to pray for someone. And you're praying, essentially, that they would be set free from the forces of evil. You're just reaching out. John Wimber, at the start of his ministry, he said this, I talk to Christians, and I realize that many of them know that life is a spiritual battle. And they enjoy talking about the battle. They usually pray for victory. They sing and preach about the need to advance God's kingdom, even weeping for it. And then they go home to live secure lives far from the battlefields. And so in his Great Commission, Jesus was saying, I've got all authority, so I've got a job for you to do. I expect Jesus' disciples were quite familiar with that label of disciples. I guess they were quite sort of safe with it and secure. Yeah, we're the disciples, he's the teacher, that's fine. It might have been a bit of a shock for them when Jesus told them to go and make disciples. And I thought, what do you mean make disciples? I'm the disciple. And what happened was the disciple became the discipler in that moment. And you know, the same is true for you. God wants you to become the discipler, doing his work for the benefit of others. So you have a job to do. Secondly, what does the authority of Jesus mean to you? Well, it means that all the pressure is off. Now, that's not a contradiction to the first point. They go hand in hand. Because what you've got to remember is this is God's mission. Jesus is seated on the throne. The expansion of his kingdom is his plan. And when you're doing something for Jesus, all he ever wants from you is faithful obedience. The question to ask at the end of the day is, did I do what God was calling me to do? It's not, did it work? It's not, was I successful? It's not, how can I measure the benefit? If you invite your neighbour, your friend, onto the Alpha launch night tomorrow, and they say, no. That's fine. You've done your bit. If you feel prompted to pray for someone to be healed, and I'm how much trepidation you actually go for it and you pray for them and they're not healed, then you know you've done your part. It's fine. It's okay. If you feel God calling you to commit time and energy to a particular project or ministry or person, you can feel held back by, well, essentially by fear. And you're thinking, yeah, but what if it fails? What if it starts to demand more from me than I feel able to give? I asked Ali, I hope you don't mind me quoting you, what difference, yeah, you haven't got no choice there. I asked Ali, what difference does the authority of Jesus make to you? What does it mean to you? Her response was, it gives me peace. She said, because I know that everything I'm involved with, that's like options and inspire and everything else she does. She says, the outcomes don't depend on me. That's what Jesus' authority means. As we prepare to add a third site to Grace Church in Midhurst, and we're excited about that, but can't help feel a little bit nervous. It's a bit of a risk. It could all go wrong, and then we'd look really daft. But you know, we always come back to this. We feel a clarity of God's call. Backed up by the prophetic, we just feel that we should be a multi-site church. This is God's strategy that he's given to us to effectively reach this region for Jesus at this time. Now, the outcomes, the results, the statistics, they are in God's hands. Because the authority is his. Our job is to do what he's called us to do, to the best of our ability, to be who God has called us to be. So there's still a job to be done, but it takes the pressure off you. Thirdly, it gives you victory over evil. The devil hates you. He is a deceiver, but he is also a defeated enemy. And through Jesus' death on the cross, by his sacrifice, the devil was defeated. And the power of sin and death was broken. It's not that the devil is the head of an opposing army with similar authority to Jesus. No, rather, Jesus has authority over everything in heaven and on earth. That expression, in heaven and on earth, basically means over every spiritual power, over every demonic force. It is all under the authority of Jesus. You just have to look at Jesus in the Gospels to see how the demons fled at his very word. Jesus said something rather cryptic to his disciples. He said this in Luke 10, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you." Now, I actually don't think that Jesus was suggesting some cultic practice of walking over snake pits to see if we get bit. Well, you first, anyway. That's not what it means. What he was saying was that the devil will come to you like a snake or a scorpion. He will taunt you and scare you and give you the creeps and lie to you. But you have the authority to flick him away like an annoying fly. To just tread on him like an ant. Because Jesus has the authority and he's given you the authority to do just that, and he does. I think we just need to up our game here a little bit. Start with yourself. Deal with the work of the enemy in your own life. We're all works of progress, right? We're all kind of on a journey. I get that. Where has the devil got a hold of you? Is it some addiction you can't fight? Is it dark thoughts you're struggling with? Well, come on. James 4 verse 7 says, "Submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." And then, do you know what you need to know? That in Jesus, you have authority to take a stand against evil wherever you see it. Jesus said this to his disciples after they'd come back to him buzzing with excitement. They were on fire. They said, "Even the demons are subject to us in your name." I'm not proposing that we start seeing demons in every person or crouching behind every bush or getting silly about it. But I think we need to be more spiritually aware. You live with the dominion of darkness all around you. You represent the kingdom of Jesus. And he has given you authority to push back that frontier and tear down the powers of evil. So be on the lookout for people who are bound up in some way. Maybe they are struggling with life. Maybe they are continually making destructive choices. And you think, why are you going down that road? Maybe there is a string of illness after illness. Maybe they are hostile and resistant to the gospel. Or maybe they're depressed in some way. So you can always be respectful to the individual and loving towards them, and we must. But let's not lose sight of the spiritual battle that we are engaged in. And as you're praying for that person, just take authority over the powers of evil in the name of Jesus. I think we give the devil more ground than he deserves. But we are God's people. And he's given us authority to take a stand. So let's take it. Last thing I would say is this. The authority of Jesus means that you can achieve the impossible. Or the highly improbable, at least. When Jesus sent out his disciples, he told them to heal people, to release them from demonic oppression. He told them to speak out and tell people about the kingdom of God. Now, his disciples were not doctors. They weren't teachers. They weren't great thinkers and orators of their day. They were fishermen. They were just kind of simple folk. And it might have seemed like a bit of a sick joke what Jesus was asking them to do. But you know, it wasn't. And the reason they came back later so excited is because they'd done it. And the reason they had been successful was because Jesus had given them his authority. And with authority had come permission, but more importantly, with authority had come power. And they had power to achieve things for the kingdom of God that they never would have been able to achieve in their own strength. All authority rests with Jesus. The way that you are able to exercise that same authority in your life is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1, the disciples were starting to think about authority. That's where their mind was going. They were thinking about Jesus' authority. They were thinking about, is this the time when the Romans are going to get booted out and Israel will be restored to Jewish rule? And that's where their thinking was. And they asked the question of Jesus, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel at this time? And the question was actually a little bit off beam. But you have to remember, they were thinking about authority. And Jesus' answer to them was actually far more important, because he said this: you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And then you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when the Holy Spirit did come on them, then they were empowered for mission. And they went and they made disciples. And the kingdom of God advanced. You know, that same power is available to you. And right here today. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. You become a Christian through faith in Jesus. And the Holy Spirit makes you alive. You know, that is a work of the Holy Spirit in your life. But if you never experience that receiving of the power of the Spirit, then you will never be equipped to exercise the authority of Jesus as he intends you to. Power, it doesn't mean like electricity. It's the ability. It's just the ability to do and complete a task. That's what power means. It means you can do it where previously you couldn't. Who knows what situation you're going to be in this week? What opportunities you will have to take authority over the forces of evil and advance the kingdom of God. Well, you don't need to wait in Jerusalem like the disciples did for the power of the Holy Spirit to be given. Jesus said, all you need to do is come to me and ask. Come to me and drink. And he said, I will pour my Holy Spirit out upon you. You know, I'd like us to finish our morning this morning by inviting the Holy Spirit to come and fill us. So it'd be great if the worship team could come up. If you've never previously been filled with the Spirit in this way, then, and if you would like to this morning, and I would encourage you to, because it's your birthright in Jesus, then I would like to pray for you with laying on of hands. Now, all that means is I'm going to put my hand on your head as I pray. It's a Bible thing. It's a faith thing. And I want to minister the Holy Spirit to you. So if you've never received the power of the Spirit in that way, I want to pray for you personally this morning. If you have been filled with the Spirit in that way, then I'm going to pray for you too. Pray for us all in a moment, that you would be filled again with his power. In the New Testament, you see people being filled with the Spirit as they are worshipping Jesus. And Jesus just comes and meets them in that place of worship. And then you also see the Holy Spirit empowering people in the moment, as they step out in the authority of Jesus and begin to speak or to pray for healing or something else. So what I want for us all this morning is I want us all to be filled with the Spirit this morning. And then this week, wherever you are, whatever you're doing in your life, you find yourself in that moment of opportunity to do something for Jesus, and you immediately, like I would, feel panicky and feel a bit pathetic and kind of look for the exit door as quick as you can. Then you can pray a quick prayer. Okay, Lord, your power now. And you know, you will achieve things for Jesus that you never thought you could. So let's worship.